James chapter 2, verse 14. We were talking this morning about, in a separate conversation before church, about the relatives of Jesus. And we know James and Jude are brothers to Jesus, brothers, half-brothers. Of course, because their dad is Joseph and Jesus' dad is God. but their moms were their mom was the same. And James writes this, and I think we sometimes take the wrong angle on reading what James is saying to us by inspiration. But verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren? And that's important. What is the benefit? That's what James is getting at. I know that you, in your Christian life, have no doubt met people who prayed and asked God's forgiveness, and they left it right there. God forgave their sins, and they never did anything else with it. What benefit was that? Well, they're going to heaven. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. Because we don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy the goodness of God. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to talk to God and to have fellowship with God and to walk with Him. We need to walk with Him now and talk with Him now. And we need to tune in and listen to Him and hear His voice as He speaks to our spirit. And we need to be close to Him now, enjoying life. But I've seen people that get saved and they don't get baptized. They don't join the church. They don't get active. They don't read the Bible. Guys, if we don't read the Bible, how do we know what God wants for us? We've got to read the Bible and then apply it in our lives. And James says, if you pray and you say you believe in God, but you don't live like it, what benefit is it? There's no benefit. Again, let me say clearly, you're going to heaven instead of hell. That's a big benefit for eternity. But here, there are benefits to being a Christian. There are benefits to applying the text in our lives, having God walk with us in our lives. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? And you look at what's going on in life. Again, are we talking about an eternal salvation, or are we talking about an earthly salvation? I'll tell you, I've seen people who are born again. They know Jesus is their Savior, but they're living outside of God's will, and they're living in a hell on earth. They're in a constant struggle, a constant battle. Because the spirit battles against the flesh. Paul said it warreth against the flesh. It's at war. And we all in our lives have had this struggle as Christians. Once we get saved, there's a battle that hopefully we make it through. And then once we've developed and grown through patience and faith, then it gets easy. But until we get through that, it's not easy. And there will or may be struggles that you carry the rest of your life. You talk to somebody who's a recovering alcoholic or even recovering from cigarettes or drugs, and they'll say, I'm an addict. I fight it every day. I think about it every day. Well, I would hope that at some point that you realize, hey, I hadn't even thought about it for a couple of days. I hadn't thought about it for a week. I hadn't thought about it for a month. Hopefully, you can get to that point. But while you're fighting that, trying to get that out of your life, it's a battle. It's a struggle. It's a war. And when it comes to the Christian life, unless we adopt those things that God has given for us, the instructions in living, and unless we do the things that will keep us occupied doing the things that God has called us to do, we're not going to grow. We're not going to mature in our faith. If a brother or sister be naked, verse 15, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them none of those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? What have we accomplished just by saying it? Just by saying, hell, be warm, be filled. They don't need your prayer at that point. They need your cheeseburger. They don't need your prayer. They need your coat. You know, they need you to actually do something. And that's the key. The word works. We're talking about actions. We're talking about application. And he says in verse number 17, even so, in the same respect, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Is it faith? Sure it is. But what has it benefited? Guys, when we got saved, what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, and the Father extended His mercy and forgave us of our sins. And He sent His presence, the Holy Ghost, to live inside of us, to help us and coach us and teach us and guide us. He gave us the Word of God. And what a privilege, because you know not everybody has a Bible. And people that have them, I was listening to testimony the other day of, I think it was China, might have been North Korea, but China, I believe it was. And a missionary went over there and he was ministering, and they were telling him how that they would be imprisoned. Like they, if they caught him with a Bible, they would be imprisoned. And he brought Bibles, and they would take a page, and each person would take a page. And they said, well, you got to have the whole thing. They said, well, we memorize it. And so we'll memorize this page, and then we'll swap and then pass it along. And eventually everybody will get the Bible memorized, the whole thing. Isn't that incredible? You know why they do that? Because they're not guaranteed to have one. And we have paper copies, electronic copies. What a privilege that we have. God's given us all the tools so we can be great missionaries, so we can be great Christians. But if we don't use the tools, is there a benefit to having it? He that doesn't read has no advantage over the man who cannot read. You ever seen that statement? We've got to read. Faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18, yea, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, what people are going to benefit from, what others will benefit from, is our actions. Not what we say we believe. And notice that James said, well, you say you believe. You say you believe. But he says, how can I believe that you believe that if it doesn't come out? If it's not revealed by our actions? If it brings no improvement? Our words must be supported by our actions. Verse 19. Thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You think just because you believe there's a God that that makes you a Christian? It doesn't. You've got to have a personal relationship with God. We've got to pray and ask God and say, God, I know I have sinned. I know I have done wrong. And I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I put my faith in Him and I ask You, forgive my sins and save my soul. A personal relationship. My God. My Savior. My Jesus. He says, you believe there's a God. That doesn't make you saved. That doesn't set you apart from devils. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? How can our neighbors know our faith? How can our coworkers know our faith? How can our family know our faith? Only by what we do. If you say, I believe it's going to rain today, and you take an umbrella, I'll say, you really do believe that. If you say, I believe it's going to rain today, but you leave the umbrella on the porch by the door, I don't know if you really believe it or not. I mean, some of us don't use umbrellas, but if you've got one, I would think you'd use it if it's going to rain. What do we really believe? Do we really believe that those whose names are not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire? Do we believe that? Because if we believe that, shouldn't we be telling people? Shouldn't we be sharing our faith? Are you telling me that the fellow you fish with, or the lady you shop with, or the friend that lives next door, you've never expressed your faith, but you'll tell me that you believe they're going to go to eternal damnation in the lake of fire? I don't think you really believe it. I don't think we believe it unless we'll share it. If we believe it, it will be proven in our actions. You really believe that God is so generous and so giving to us that if we'll be faithful to Him, that He'll not let us go without? Do we really believe that? I heard testimonies this week of people who they challenged. They didn't want to do it and they couldn't do it, but God just laid on their heart and they did it. And God said, okay, let me show you what I can do. Do we really believe it? Do you really believe that the God of heaven could do anything? You really believe that our Savior can do anything? You really believe that He hears your prayer? And that He answers your prayer? And that He'll do great things for those you love and care about and pray for if you'll just reach out and say in faith, right? Ask, seek, and knock. Isn't that what He said? But ask believing. Nothing wavering. You say, well, but whatever your will is, God. Well, Lord, this is what I'm asking for. The fact that it's whatever God's will is, that's presumed. I know that I'm surrendered to God's will, but I'm going to present what it is I'm asking, what it is I desire. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest how faith wrought with his works, by works was faith made perfect. What was it that made Abraham, as God says, go to a place that I will show you? And they get to the bottom of the hill and he tells his servants, y'all wait here. The boy and I are going to go up to the top of Mount Moriah. And he goes up there and Isaac says, here is the fire. Here is the wood. Where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen. That's prophetic right there, isn't it? But Abraham believed that. Abraham, you really believe God's going to provide? Yes, as he ties Isaac to the altar. You really believe God's going to provide? I believe it. As he ties that last knot, as he raises that knife. And the angel of the Lord says, do him no harm. And look over there, there's a ram caught in a thicket by the horn so that his body is not scarred and therefore he's still a perfect sacrifice. Did Abraham really believe God would provide? He did. He went all the way. He did everything that God had instructed him to do, believing the whole way. God honored his obedience. It was his faith that caused his actions. And I'm saying to you tonight, this is not just a Christian biblical idea. This is reality. You will do what you believe. Your faith, whatever that is going to drive our activities. If you believe that buying that car will make you happy, what are you going to do? You'll buy that car, and it will make you happy for about a minute. And that's how life is. But we do whatever we believe. It's the only thing we do. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Why? Because his faith directed his activity. You see then, verse 24, how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. I submit to you tonight that it's like the... We like to separate our faith and our works, you know, as we read what James wrote here. But I submit to you tonight, it's like breathing in, breathing out. You're going to do what you believe. You're going to follow what you believe. So the question is, while we may say we believe something, the question is, do we really believe it? That's the question. Is it really in our heart that we really believe? You say, well, I believe God lead me to do this. Do you really believe that? Because if you did, you'd do it. If you really believe that God was in it, and we know that God said, my word will not return to me void. So if God speaks to us, he expects it done. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers that sent them out another way? Was it her works? Well, her actions were born of her faith. And her faith was that if she helped the Jews, the Israelites, and they would help her. And she believed if she covered up for them, for those spies that came in and saved them from the soldiers or the law enforcement of Jericho, that they would rescue her and her family. And they did. But it was her faith that caused her actions, not the other way around. Verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We use a term regularly in church circles, and that term is revival. Right? What does that mean? What is revival? It means to come back from life. Come back to life from death. To be revived. And so tonight, if you examine your heart and your life and you say, well, I say I believe it, but I really am not doing anything about it, then I would say to you, it's time to revive your faith. It's time to revive our faith in God, our trust in His Word, our confidence in His church, and say, God, use me. Raise me up. Revive me that I can be enthusiastic and show others the way of the truth. Because I believe it. And my actions are going to show what I believe. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much, and we're thankful again for the time we've shared in your word tonight. Pray that you'll bless the time of fellowship we share after this. That you'll draw us all to you. Forgive our sins and make us useful. Dismiss us with your grace and bring us back again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.